we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Monday morning in Brevard County, and God has selected you and I for such a... He selected you and me. He selected you and me for such a time as this. I'd better get my English right, especially since I used to teach English. Hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. And we are looking forward to spending the next 30 minutes with you. We want to say thank you to everybody at Merritt Assembly of God who yesterday partnered with us, said we're going to step out and in faith and be a supporter of the missions program at Merritt Assembly of God. And this year, I believe our goal is somewhere in the neighborhood of $62,400. We always have more that comes in than the faith promises that are made. And so we anticipate that we will probably get pretty close to that mark in the coming, 10 and a half months that we have left here in 2018. So we have been studying for quite some time now the walk of the Spirit in that progresses throughout the book of Galatians. And we have been spending several weeks now on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. This is in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And on Friday, we concluded a prolonged study on biblical faithfulness. I hope that was a blessing to you, and that you are planning on being faithful to speak forth the Word of God. The Word of God never returns void. It always strikes its mark. And I encourage you to fill your mouth with the Word of God, fill your heart with the Word of God, and speak faithfully the Word of God in your life, in your neighborhood, and in the mission field that God has given to you. And watch the results that take place as that word of God goes forth. It will strike its mark. But today we are going to begin a study on what is described here in the New King James Version as gentleness there in verse number 23, where it concludes with the last two fruit of the Spirit, which says gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, depending upon the translation that you have or the verse that you are utilizing, that word gentleness is translated also in following manners. It's mildness, humility, and meekness. Mildness, humility, and meekness. And so we're going to be looking at this concept. If you were to create a strategic plan for gentleness or meekness in your life, it would probably be titled a how-to book. Because as we go through this, that the word that is used there in for the word gentleness is found 10 other times in the New Testament. And so we're going to look at those references, and we're going to see that it's a very practical word. There are key activities in our life that are to be done in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of gentleness. And so I want to take you today to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And it says there in verse number 18, "Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? So the question today, how do you want people to come into your life? How do you want to receive the messengers? How do you want to receive people into your life? It's very important on how we receive those people. If we receive a prophet, because he is a prophet, we'll receive a prophet's reward. If we receive a righteous man, because he's a righteous man, we will receive a righteous man's reward. It's very important on how we go about receiving the people that God places in our life. You can either receive them kicking and screaming and fussing and fighting and fighting against the provision of God, and that's pretty much the way that the children of Israel operated in the wilderness. Or you can receive them, as it says here in verse number 21, you can receive them in love and a spirit of gentleness. How many of us would really like to just hang out with Paul for a few days and hear the wisdom that God had birthed inside of him and allow him to speak into our life? Most of us would find that to be an exhilarating experience. But here he is writing to a church that he has great influence in, and there are some who have risen up in opposition because they were puffed up, they were arrogant, they were inflated. And the thing about things that are puffed up is they don't have much depth to them. They can have length, they can have width, they can have depth, but do they have substance? Length, width, height. They can have height. The thing is, do they have much depth to them? And if you are puffed up, you're inflated, and that makes you extremely susceptible to a rapid deflation. I want to receive people in the spirit of meekness. And so when you went to church yesterday or when you went to church this weekend, you have the responsibility to prepare yourself for the reception of the Word of God. If you watch either baseball or if you watch football season's over now, but they have to position themselves appropriately so that they can make the reception, so that they can do their part in the act of receiving. God is faithful in his part in the sending. We have to be responsible for our part, which is preparing ourselves for the reception. And so he says, you get to choose whether I come with a rod, whether you receive me with a rod. Then we will find out about the power that you have, about the things that you claim. Or would you like me to come in the spirit of meekness? And so I remind you again that the word we're looking at here is gentleness. It means meekness or mildness or humility. I remember when I was first educating myself on this concept of meekness. A lot of times people think that is a doormat mentality, that you are displaying great weakness and you just lay down and let everybody walk all over you. I think if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you will see that Paul isn't advocating for a doormat personality. He says, I'm going to come to you, and let me just say this before I get too far into the meekness. This is a spiritual issue. He says, do you want me to come with a rod, or do you want me to come in love and with a spirit of meekness? It's a spiritual manifestation. We're talking about a fruit of the Spirit. As we abide in God, there is this humility, this mildness, this meekness that should arise up within us, this gentleness that comes forth. And it says, you know what? All I can accomplish is what God has accomplished in me and what he wants to accomplish through me. This is a spirit that takes boasting of our own giftings and accomplishments, and it blows it right out of the water. And so it is a spiritual issue. Now, like I said, a lot of people understood this to be a spirit of weakness. And so if they were just real soft-spoken, and that's been me. I mean, you may have a hard time comprehending that, but I was a very soft-spoken individual. When I first started preaching, I would hold on to both sides of the pulpit so that I didn't fall over, and my voice would stay relatively monotone. It wasn't that I wasn't, didn't have the word burning inside of me, but I was still discovering who God was making me. My natural personality was a soft-spoken, non-confrontational person, and now I'm charged with the responsibility of proclaiming the word of God to believers and unbelievers. And so God began to do a work inside of me. That concept that I was telling you is my Bible college professor was describing this concept of meekness was that in ancient times, they would take an elephant, which has great, great strength, and they would tether it to the ground with the strongest chain and the deepest stake that they had. And no matter how hard that elephant fought to get away from that and break loose of the chain, it wasn't able to do that until that elephant got to the place where it was willing to utilize its great strength in a focused, productive manner instead of just being on a wild rampage. And what he said was after a while, they would be able to take that chain off of the elephant and they would be able to put a light rope on there, which the elephant could pull away from very easily, very readily. But now he realized that great strength was to be controlled by the rope that he was attached to. You see, God is not looking to make you weak. He is not looking to make you into a feeble existence of a person. He is the Almighty God. He is the omnipotent God. Why would he want his children to be characterized as feeble and not able to accomplish anything? That is not an adequate reflection of who he is or who his descendants are. And what he is looking for is for the strength that he imparts to us to be conducted in a controlled and disciplined manner. So meekness isn't weakness. It is tremendous strength under God's control. It is something that takes place in the Spirit. And so if you are having a bad day and you make a grand entrance into a situation having had a bad day and your strength is out of control, guess what? You're going to disqualify yourself from being able to speak into people's lives. I can testify that there are people that I have had to pray, God, as a messenger, I have made a mess out of this situation. Would you please have mercy? And would you send a messenger who would be able to, in an anointed manner, clean up my mess? You might think that never happens with preachers, but I'm here to tell you, if I'm the only one, then I'm the only one, but it's happened to me, and I'm not proud of it, but it has happened. So, how do you want to receive the people who speak into your life? I don't know about you, but I really like the spirit of meekness. I would much rather them come in humility than I would for them to come in arrogance. That is me. You see, I find that God opposes the proud, and I don't see any loopholes in there. He opposes the proud unless you're in America. He opposes the proud unless you're a Christian. He opposes the proud unless you're wealthy or unless you're famous or unless you're powerful and influential. I don't see any of those exclusions in there. So I have to conclude that he opposes the proud, but he does give grace to the humble. And so I want to position myself spiritually. I want to receive the people that God sends into my life. I want to receive them in the spirit of meekness, because now I've set myself up to receive the empowering grace of God into my life. So the first how-to is, how do you want to receive people? Well, I want to receive them in the spirit of meekness. The second thing that I'll share is in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So we may not, we're not going to spend weeks and weeks and weeks on the spirit of gentleness like we did faithfulness, but it may surprise you that God wants us operating in this spirit of gentleness or in the spirit of meekness, but he does. James chapter 1, verse number 21. James chapter 1, verse number, well, let me start reading at verse number 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So the question here is, how do you want to receive the word of God? So where the first question is, how do you want to receive the people that God sends into your life, this question is, how do you want to receive the word of God? I don't know about you, but I would much rather have God speak to me with a still small voice than I would for him to have to boom it from the heavens where everybody hears it. I would much rather him deal with my issues in private than he would deal with them in a public manner. So a lot of people operate from the principle of whoever has the loudest voice must have the most authority. And that is simply not the case at all. So how do you want to receive the word of God? So it gives us several indications here, several things that we can do to prepare us to receive the word of God. The first one is to be swift to hear. Be quick to listen. This is kind of the opposite of what everybody does now. We live in a Facebook, in a Twitter, a Snapchat type of world, and you might think that nobody's paying attention to those things, but I looked something up here recently. And I found that there were people who were monitoring someone else's, and this person was not famous by any stretch of the imagination. I had never heard of them. But there were people who were paying attention to what that person was posting on the internet. You see, once something gets out there into that internet universe, from what I'm told, it's out there forever. In spite of the fact that you hit the delete button, it's still out there. And so you've got to be careful what you put out there. So you got to be swift to hear, not so quick to put everything out there. Like I've said before, just because something crosses my mind doesn't mean it's supposed to cross my lips. So if you want to prepare yourself to receive with meekness the implanted word. So this is a reception of the word, not just into our ears, but to where it is planted down into our spirit. So the first thing is you've got to be swift to hear. A lot of people want to come to church to be quick to speak. And after 25 years of pastoring, I want to tell you, I'm much more interested in how open and teachable a person is than I am how much of an authority they are and how much they want to speak into someone's life. It's amazing the number of people who didn't want to have anything to do with Merit Assembly of God when there were only six people at Merit Assembly of God. But when you're a little healthier and when you're able to do a little bit more in the community, all of a sudden they want to come because they have a message that they want to speak. And the Bible says you've got to be able to listen. You know, if you go to the hospital, the doctor is not going to start treating you right away until the doctor understands what is going on inside that patient. And then he will say, okay, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. Now, if they come in a traumatic situation to where the patient can't speak, they're still going to listen, only they're going to listen to the evidence of what this body is telling them. So what the blood gases are telling them, what the EKG is telling them, what the respiratory system is telling them. They're going to go through all these tests and they're going to say, okay, how do we proceed? Does this person have any allergies? They're going to find out. They've got to wait for input before there's output. Before I go in, or when I go into a new setting, unless I'm invited in there to speak, I go with the attitude of listening. And before I go to speak, I've got to position myself to listen to what God wants to say, because I don't need to go in there and just say, this is what thus saith Bob. Nobody really wants to hear that. So you got to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Please be careful with your tongue, whether it is an electronic communication, a social media tongue, whether it is something that you share. Please try and speak judiciously, shall we say, so that your words are not weaponized against you. So be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Okay? It also says that if you are going to prepare yourself to receive with meekness the implanted word, you have to lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching. Two Sundays ago, let's put it that way. It was about 8 days ago. I was preaching, and the Spirit of the Lord was present during our worship time. It was an absolutely phenomenal worship experience. And it was time in the service, even though it wasn't on our schedule, it wasn't when we would ordinarily do it. I felt the Lord's leading that it was time to pray for the sick right then. It wasn't time to wait to cause those who needed a healing in their body to wait till the end of the service or wait until a little bit later in the service. Then was the time, and we had some people who came up after the service and said, I was in so much pain at the beginning of the service that I didn't know how I was going to get home after the service, but God touched me in that service. Well, let me tell you that when there is sin and wickedness in your life, you've got to deal with those issues if you really want to receive the word of God, the implanted word of God, the way that God wants you to. Several years ago, I was wanting to plant some tomatoes, and there was a man from my church. He's since gone on to be with the Lord, but I'd been to his house a number of times, and he really grew a lot of very nice tomatoes. And he said, well, I'll come over and show you how I do it. And so we began, before we ever planted the tomatoes, we prepared the soil. That's what happens when we are dealing with the filthiness and the wickedness, the sin, the weight, the things that distract us and destroy us. That's what we do when we lay those things and we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. It prepares us for the Word of God. Sin tries to choke out the Word of God. The devil will try and choke out the Word of God. But God wants to prepare us to receive this life-altering Word that He wants to plant within us. And it says this, that the implanted Word that we receive can save our souls. Too many Christians are trying to live a victorious Christian life, and they're trying to do it without any Word input into their life. They don't want to hear radio preachers. They don't want to hear a church pastor. They don't want to watch it on television. They just want to say a prayer, watch all of this garbage on television put out by celebrities who don't really know anything about what the Word of God says with any accuracy whatsoever. And then they wonder why they are struggling to live in victory. I want you to know it is God's will to plant the Word of God inside of you so that it is going to be a fruitful word. It is our responsibility to hear the Word of God and to do it. That's where productivity comes in. It is that type of receiving of the Word that causes our life to have a foundation that is going to be able to sustain the storms of life. So today, this as we begin this series, it is the spirit of gentleness, the spirit of meekness, mildness, and humility that we need to make sure is taking place in our spirit, first of all, so that we'll know how to be able to receive people, whether they're a person that's going to speak into our life, or it's a person that God's brought into our life so that we can minister to, or they can minister to us. We got to know how to receive people. We receive them with meekness. Second, it is also how we prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God. And so how do we do that? One last time. We are swift to hear. We're slow to speak. We're slow to get angry. And we separate ourselves from the filthiness and the wickedness of this world. And then we say, God, here I am. Plant your Word inside of me and save my soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions will all be changed by the implanted Word of God. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.